What does it mean to be a person of faith? We're going to talk about that on this episode of the Gary Zimak Show. Stay right where you are. Here we go. Hey, what's up? How are you today? Come on in and make yourself at home. My name is Gary Zimak. I'll be here with you for the next 30 minutes. Got a good show today. We're going to talk about what does it mean to be a person of faith? And I'm going to go to the book, My Daily Bread, by Father Anthony Payone, that I like to try to use every Wednesday on the show. Also, we'll look at today's daily mass readings. Some powerful stuff here, good messages. And we all, I would say, honestly, we all probably think of ourselves as people of faith. But what does that really mean? What does it really mean to be a true man or woman of faith? It might not be exactly what you think it means. So I do want to discuss this because I think there's an important lesson that we can all learn. I want to point out something that on Friday and Saturday, if you're anywhere in the area of Fredericksburg, Virginia, I'm going to be emceeing and speaking at the National Homeschool Conference, the IHM, National Catholic Homeschool Conference. It's a really great conference, and if you're in the area, please stop on by. Even if you're not a homeschooler, I'd love to meet you. I'll have all my books and material there, and again, I'll be giving a talk. I'll be emceeing. I'll be hanging out with my family, so I'll be there, and I would love to see you there. That's Friday and Saturday in Fredericksburg, Virginia. You can find out full details at my website, followingthetruth.com. Just click on the upcoming appearances, and you can find out the details. There's a link that'll take you right to the info about the National Homeschool Conference. So as a result, I'll have to pre-record a few of my shows. I'll be doing that. I'll pre-record Thursday and Friday shows, so you will have programs. You don't have to worry about me deserting you. I always like to make sure that I pre-record the programs if I'm going to be out of town. And by the way, if you need me, even when I'm out of town, always feel free to send me an email at gary@followingthetruth.com. I do read my emails when I'm on the road, so I'd be happy to hear from you. I'll try to get back to you if I can. I can't always when I'm traveling. It might take me an extra day or two, but I will be able to get back in touch with you as soon as possible. gary@followingthetruth.com. I also want to thank you for your continued support of my work through the Amazon link that I have on my website, as well as the Mystic Monk link. I took a look today, and Amazon, the sales are picking up, so I really appreciate you doing this. And if you would continue to do this, I'm going to keep mentioning it because I want my work, obviously, to continue. I want this show to be free of charge. If you order anything from Amazon, you would help me tremendously. If you would do, and this is all you have to do, nothing is different for you. Instead of just typing in Amazon.com, in your browser, go to followingthetruth.com. Either click on the Amazon image on the side of every page. On the side of every page, you'll see an Amazon image. You click on that, that'll take you right into Amazon.com. But it flags it as coming from my website, which means I get a little percentage because I'm sending you to Amazon.com, which really helps me. Your prices are the same. Everything is identical. But just the fact that you went into their website through my website helps me out, and it results in a commission. And don't worry, because sometimes I'll get asked this question, I can't see anything you order. All I can see is the profits, and really that's all I'm concerned with. So if you could do that, and you could let your friends and your family know that you could fund my work, and again, the commission's not big, but it's something, and every little bit helps. By doing that, it would be very helpful. And the other way you can do that, now also there's an image for Mystic Monk Coffee. We'll get to that in a minute. But for either Amazon or Mystic Monk Coffee, if you could use the links on my website, that helps me out. If you don't see it on the right-hand side of each page, there's a special donate page. Right up at the top, there's a donate tab. Click on the donate tab. You can click on any of the, you can get to Amazon, you can get to Mystic Monk Coffee from there. And you can donate as well. You can either become a monthly sponsor or you can make a one-time donation. And I know I've been saying this a lot lately. I haven't gotten a new monthly sponsor in a long time. So, a relatively long time. I really need some new monthly sponsors. I need to have that income, that guaranteed income each month so that I can continue to do the work that I do. You would really help me out greatly. Summer's very challenging. I mentioned in a newsletter that I sent out recently, I'm at an all-time low financially. But I'm good with it because I know that the Lord will provide if He wants me to keep going. If you would be kind enough to become a monthly sponsor, You can do it for $10 a month. That's 33 cents a day. You can cancel it anytime you want. That just sets aside some extra money that I can count on each month. If you would please continue to do that, it would help me tremendously. Followingthetruth.com, click on donate. You can do that there. You can also make a one-time donation. Whatever works for you, just understand that I really do need it in order to keep going. That's one of the ways that the Lord's humbling me, because this isn't easy for me to ask, is to have me ask for donations. But you're responding. So obviously you understand, and I'm very grateful. So Mystic Monk Coffee, Amazon, the donate through PayPal options, that they are ways that you can help me to keep my apostolate going. You can also pray. And please, even if you're going to donate, please also pray. I definitely need your prayers. And thank you. I really appreciate that. I want to talk quickly about Mystic Monk Coffee, the beverage du jour today, by the way. Here we go. Well, today, I don't know if you could sense it, but I'm having some dark chocolate toffee. This is really good. Mystic Monk Coffee, the greatest coffee you will ever drink. Some of the flavors that I've been using lately: Tanzanian Peaberry, Summer Blend, Dark Chocolate Coffee, and Midnight Vigils Blend. I like that Midnight Vigils Blend. It's a really robust, it'll wake you up in the morning, really robust blend. Mystic Monk Coffee, they have all kinds of great coffees, all kinds of flavors, flavored coffee. They have tea, they have regular coffees, they have whole bean, they have ground. And this coffee is brewed by real, authentic Carmelite monks. They're located in Wyoming. They're great, holy men. They really are. If you'd ever read some of their newsletters, I would strongly recommend you do that, because you're going to really want to support these guys. And plus, they make some fantastic coffee. So please, thank you. And continue, please don't forget to continue to support me through those various methods. And the reason I'm turning to you is because you listen to the show. Obviously, you care about my work. That's why I'm able to turn to you. So I thank you in advance for listening to me. It's very, very much appreciated. Okay, anything else? I mentioned the homeschool conference. I mentioned the donations. That's about it for now, other than that, if you would like to bring me to your parish, I would love to come to your parish. FollowingTheTruth.com is the place to go to find out more information. Stay tuned, because God willing, total consecration to Jesus through Mary will start in September. And as I mentioned on last night's show and a couple of the shows prior to that, this is going to be unlike anything we've ever done before. I am using several different methods, going to combine them all, and I am going to look at St. Louis de Montfort's recommendations for preparation for total consecration and pick the best of the best. I'm telling you, you don't want to miss this. It's unlike any total consecration preparation that we've ever done in the past. I'm going to make it special because, as I said on last night's show, these methods are all good, the ones I've looked at, but each one of them has limitations. I want to make sure that we can get you the best preparation possible. Stay tuned for more details. Total consecration coming up soon. Let's pray. I need to take a deep breath. I did a lot of talking, man. Let's pray, and then we'll get on with today's daily readings. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for giving us another day. Thank you for the many blessings that you have given to us. Thank you for sparing our lives. Up until this day, we have remained alive even though we faced numerous problems. Father, you haven't given up on us yet. You haven't called us home yet. Obviously, you still have hope for us. There are still things that you want us to do. So, Father, we ask for your continued blessings. We ask for your continued strength and guidance so that we may be able to know your will for our lives. Father, help those who are sick. Help those who are lonely. Help those who are anxious, who are struggling with doubt or despair. Help anyone who is dealing with religious persecution, addiction. Help anyone struggling financially. Help anyone who is homeless. Help anyone who is dealing with an extreme weather situation. Please accept all of our intentions, whatever they may be. Help us to turn our problems over to you, and then not take them back again. So we ask you to help us with it, because sometimes, honestly, Father, we don't trust you. Even though You have provided for your people throughout history. And even though you have provided for us throughout history, throughout our history, sometimes we doubt you. So we ask you to help us and to keep us close to you. Help us to trust you more. Father, I give you this radio program. I ask you to speak through me today. Please speak through me and proclaim the message that you wish proclaimed. And please open our hearts and our minds to be receptive to that message. We ask that you bless our priests, our religious, our deacons. Please increase vocations. Please put an end to abortion. Please inspire our government leaders to follow your law and not their own personal ambitions. And we ask for all of these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. And now, as we do each day, we're going to turn to our Blessed Mother Mary and ask for her prayers. As together we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Thomas More, Saint John Fisher, and Saint Paulinus of Nola, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks for praying with me. We have a lot of saints today. There are several different saints that the Church honors today. Saint Paulinus of Nola. Let me tell you a little bit about these saints before we get on too much further with the show. There are different saints that we can choose, that the Church can choose from today to celebrate. Saint Paulinus of Nola was governor of Campania in Italy when he began his journey into the Church, moved in part through the miracles he witnessed at the shrine of Saint Felix. In time, Paulinus left behind his riches to live poor himself near St. Felix's shrine at Nola. There he and his wife, Teresia, embraced consecrated life, creating monastic houses of prayer and service. Paulinus offered the poor the first floor of his quarters. He considered them his masters. He served as bishop of Nola from 409 until his death in 431. In his letters and poetry, we find a lived theology, woven from God's word, constantly examined as a light for life. And that last quote was from Pope Benedict XVI. So that's Paulinus of Nola. Let me read you a little bit about the other saints today. I think it's good to learn a little bit about the saints that the Church celebrates, because as we hear some of their stories, we're inspired. Now here, that first saint, Saint Paulinus, he was very dedicated to the poor, and he considered the poor to be his masters. How many of us feel the same way? Did you feel a little uncomfortable when you heard that? I did, because too often we can ignore the poor and their needs, because we have our own problems, and that's a danger. And I'm not going to tell you to give away your savings, give away the money that you need. Not at all. What you need to do, what we all need to do, is prayerfully, and we have to do this prayerfully, and it's not just a cliche. We have to make sure we're talking to the Lord every day and asking Him through the Holy Spirit to inspire us, to let us know what we should give to charities, to other people, of our treasure. That treasure could be monetary, it could be time, but it's probably both. What we should give to the poor. If we're not asking the Lord about this constantly, or if we don't come up with some kind of way to spend time with Him and say, look, here's what I'm doing, Lord. This is what I'm going to give to the poor. What do you think? If you're not praying every day, there's a good chance you're going to miss what He's telling you. If you are praying every day, it will resolve itself. Because if you're not giving enough, the Lord's going to nudge you. If you're ignoring Him, you might not feel that nudge. So it's important to do that. St. John Fisher and St. Thomas More, martyrs, celebrate them on the same day. St. John Fisher was born in 1469 after completing his theological studies at Cambridge in England. He was ordained to the priesthood. Appointed Bishop of Rochester, he led a most austere life. Boy, see, there's that poverty again. and fulfilled his pastoral role by frequently visiting the faithful. He also composed works against the errors of the time. St. Thomas More was born in 1477 and was educated at Oxford. He married and had one son and three daughters. While chancellor in the king's court, he wrote works on the governance of the realm and in defense of the faith. Both were beheaded in 1535 by the order of King Henry VIII, whom they had resisted in the matter of his divorce. John Fisher on June 22nd and Thomas More on July 6th. While detained in prison, Bishop Fisher was named to the College of Cardinals of the Holy Roman Church by Pope Paul III. So definitely a great example for us. A great example for us as we live our lives. It's too easy to become complacent, to become self-centered, right? And we need this example of the saints, in particular the martyrs. It's just a powerful, powerful witness. I just want to share something really quick with you. When I was looking at when I was praying the Liturgy of the Hours this morning, there's a reading from St. Thomas More written while he was in prison to his daughter. And there was a piece of this. I put this out on social media this morning, on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. Here's what he said. The way this segment closes, and this is something I want you to remember, because this is often we struggle with this. And we don't achieve peace in our life because we're so upset by whatever it is that's happening to us. St. Thomas More. And therefore, my good daughter, do not let your mind be troubled over anything that shall happen to me in this world. Nothing can come but what God wills. And I am very sure that whatever that be, however bad it may seem, it shall indeed be the best. You know, if we can accept that, if we can accept that fact in our life, accept the fact that whatever happens is allowed to happen because of God. He stamps everything. There's the concept of his ordained will and his permissive will. But everything that happens is God's will in one way or another. He doesn't will evil per se, but he allows it to happen. So therefore, that's part of his permissive will. If you start to accept anything that happens in your life as being his will, you're going to be a lot more peaceful. So we want to ask St. Thomas More, St. John Fisher, and St. Paulinus of Nola to pray for us today, because those prayers could help us when we struggle. Let's look at, you know what? Here's what I want to do. I'm running a little short on time. So I've got a really long and almost excruciatingly painful first reading. So I want to make sure that I can get everything in today. You know what? I am going to try this. Let me do this. I wasn't going to read it, but I want to read this. There's a simple message, bit of a long reading, but I think we can make it. First reading is from the second book of Kings, chapter 22, verses 8. And continuing all the way through chapter 23, verse 3. The high priest Hilkiah informed the scribe, Shaphan, "I have found the book of the law in the temple of the Lord." Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, who read it. Then the scribe Shaphan went to the king and reported, "Your servants have smelted down the metals available in the temple and have consigned them to the master workmen in the temple of the Lord." The scribe Shaphan also informed the king that the priest Hilkiah had given him a book, and then read it aloud to the king. When the king heard the contents of the book of the law, he tore his garments and issued this command to Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam, son of Shaphan, Akbar, son of Micaiah, the scribe Shaphan, and the king's servant Asaiah. Go consult the Lord for me, for the people, for all Judah, about the stipulations of this book that has been found, for the anger of the Lord has been set furiously ablaze against us, because our fathers did not obey the stipulations of this book, nor fulfill our written obligations. The king then had all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem summoned together before him. The king went up to the temple of the Lord with all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, priests, prophets, and all the people, small and great. He had the entire contents of the book of the covenant that had been found in the temple of the Lord read out to them. Standing by the column, the king made a covenant before the Lord that they would follow him and observe his ordinances, statutes, and decrees with their whole hearts and souls, thus reviving the terms of the covenant, which were written in the book. And all the people stood as participants in the covenant. The general belief is that this book was an excerpt from the book of Deuteronomy, one of the first five books of the Old Testament. And there's a lot of details, a lot of fancy names here, but the message is clear. We got a king here who finds this book, who finds the Lord's word, the word of the Lord, and is determined to not only follow it himself, but to lead the people to follow the word of the Lord, to follow God's commands. That's a noble thing. That's an admirable quality. For us, how does this translate to our lives? The Catholic Church teaches that the Bible is the inspired word of God. Do we live out the words we read in sacred scripture every day? Are we faithful to the Lord's law? Are we listening to him? Or are we doing our own thing? That's a question we have to ask ourselves. Are we faithful to the teaching of the church? It's not just a matter of looking at the Bible and interpreting it for yourself. We need to be familiar with the church teachings so that we can properly understand the message in the Bible. If we're not doing it, we need to do it. Because if we expect to get to heaven to reach our ultimate reward, to enjoy our ultimate reward, we've got to make sure that we're living the life that the Lord wants us to live. He gives us these guidelines. He expects us to live them. You will never find peace unless you're doing God's will. And you will never do God's will unless you follow his commandments. So please keep that in mind. It's a great message. Again, it's a long way to make a long passage to make a good, quick point, but that's the point. Psalm 119, and this is a great, psalm today, the response is a great prayer that you can pray. Psalm 119 is all about the law of the Lord, God's revelation to us. Here's how I want you to live your life. So ask the Holy Spirit to really help you to understand and believe and listen and follow all the Lord is asking you to do. Teach me the way of your decrees, O Lord. Boy, great message. Instruct me, O Lord, in the way of your statutes, that I may exactly observe them. Give me discernment, that I may observe your law and keep it with all my heart. Lead me in the path of your commands, for in it I delight. Incline my heart to your decrees and not to gain. Turn away my eyes from seeing what is vain. By your way give me life. Behold, I long for your precepts. In your justice, give me life. That's what it's all about, listening to the Lord. You'll find peace in this life, and you'll find eternal happiness in the next life. Today's Gospel, Matthew 7, verses 15 through 20. We're still in the Sermon on the Mount. We're still listening to Jesus give his Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said to his disciples, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. But underneath are ravenous wolves. By their fruits you will know them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Just so every good tree bears good fruit, and a rotten tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a rotten tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. So by their fruits you will know them." What does that mean? That means that just because you say you're a Christian, just because you say you follow God's law, just because you say you're pro-life, just because you say that you're a moral person, just because you go to church, doesn't mean that any of those statements are true. What matters is the fruit of your life, how you live your life, what you do. It's more important than what you say. Now, this applies to us. No doubt, we want to make sure that we bear good fruit. We're not going to get to heaven if we're not bearing good fruit. Just because you go to church, just because you pray every day, just because you can quote the Bible, doesn't mean you're going to heaven. But you need to bear good fruit. You could apply this to other people as well. You got a lot of false prophets in the world. You got some politicians. You've got even some ministers. Be careful. Watch what they do, not just what they say. So this is a good advice from Jesus, just not just for us, but when looking at other people. And we have some other individuals who we might be inclined to write off and dismiss, but yet they are bearing good fruit. So we want to take that both ways. We want to be really careful. It doesn't matter just what you say. It matters what you do. All right, let's try to get this all in here. The Man of Faith, I talked about this at the beginning of the program. This book, My Daily Bread, great message. It starts off with a message that could have come from Christ. So I want you to picture Christ saying these words to you. The Man of Faith, yes, I have faith. How do I live, though? What does the man or woman of faith really do? Just because I say it again, goes in with that gospel, doesn't mean that it's true. My child, my loyal follower is not rebellious at the unpleasant things which I permit in his daily life. He is a man of faith. That is, he believes my words and follows my teachings in his daily life. He sees my wisdom guiding his life at all times. This supernatural faith helps him keep his peace of soul, even when humans seem to complicate his life by their meddling and interference. Remember what St. Thomas More was saying to his daughter? Don't be confused when things look bad. Anything that happens is coming from God. Now, the person of faith is going to really accept that. And remember, as with so many of these things, it's a process. You don't get there overnight. You work on this every day. And with God's help and the grace that he gives you, you can eventually get to the point where you realize, yeah, this is okay. This doesn't look pleasant. It's not going to be fun, but I know this is coming from the Lord. Continuing on, what I send is not always easy to understand. It may even seem unjust or foolish to those who are only living for this world. The man of faith takes all from my hands, knowing that I plan all things for the best. Do not depend on your natural judgment alone, but learn to consult me and my church in all matters of importance. So in other words, to you and me, something might not look good. Some catastrophe happens in our life and we think, well, this isn't good. Get to know the Lord. Spend time with him and you'll realize that anything that happens can help you in some way. It's because he loves you. And if you really think it through, it'll make sense. If you really believe that the Lord loves you, then you're going to be more inclined to believe that whatever happens is happening somehow for your benefit. All right, something to think about. I must be a man of faith with a bright vision of God in my daily life. He is ever near, ever interested, ever helping me. With such an interior vision, I will not be disturbed by the sayings and doings of those around me. The supernatural man is not fooled by external appearances. He knows only too well that what looks good may sometimes be wrong, and what seems undesirable is sometimes the only thing to do. He sees clearly that God sometimes chooses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Remember that gospel? Isn't that cool how this kind of jives with that? And I didn't pick these out. That's what I love. This is why I let the Holy Spirit run this show, because he's got a much better plan than I do with this. That's why I ask him to speak through me. We end with this prayer. Father of wisdom and goodness, my God, when will I see things with your glorious eternal outlook? Let me not be influenced by the wrong standards of worldly people. I will dare to be different when the humans around me disagree with you. Though they may mock and criticize what you have commanded, give me courage and strength to follow what you want of me. Your wisdom will conquer the foolish wisdom of this world. The folly of sin will one day be condemned and put to shame. Let me hate what is wrong and fear all my sin in my daily life. Amen. There you go. That's a good message, isn't it? That's the person of faith. We need to be different. We can't be like those who are in the world who live solely by the rule of the world. We are different. We are different. And what we do and what we believe sometimes doesn't make sense to people who are completely immersed in the world. Look, we're here. We live here now. We might be in the world, but we are not of the world. There's a huge difference. How do you like that? I got everything in. See, I was about to abandon ship and not read the first reading, but then I felt this prompting of the Holy Spirit to go ahead and do it, and we got it all in. What a great pleasure it is to be with you here again, and I invite your comments, Gary@followingthetruth.com. I'm going to record the next two shows right after this. God willing, I'll get through them all before I take off for my trip, but I will be back in town on Monday. In the meantime, if you do need anything, even over the weekend, just shoot me an email at Gary@followingthetruth.com. Hope to see you tomorrow. Thanks again for tuning in. Remember, God loves you. Don't ever forget that. See you next time.